Good morning, friends. It's good to be with you, and especially to the mothers here today. Really, really hope it will be a very, very good day for you. And as Janetta made us so aware during her prayer, it's not always an easy day for many women. So we are also aware of that as well. And particularly today, mothers who've lost children. But it's really great to be with you, to be part of the worship. I think those guys enjoyed wearing those suits. They just seemed to enjoy it so, so much. And we just say thank you to them. Hope your weekend's been good. If anyone is looking tired around you, they've just got home from Bon Jovi. If anyone's looking happy, they come from Port Elizabeth because, as you know, over the weekend, the only rugby team from South Africa to win a game came from Port Elizabeth. We begin a series. This is the time of the year when we focus on the gift of God's Spirit. And today is the beginning of a four-day journey that I'll be spending with some of you. We start today, tonight, then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings. But you do need to register for that, and you very, really are welcome to come on that. And I'm so grateful to Mosaic for making the book available. Really appreciate that. There's some very good words that Jesus spoke that really help us, I think, to enter into this theme. And I want to read them to you. It comes from Luke chapter 11. Those of you who've got Bibles, you may want to turn to it. Some of you have got a bulletin. And just inside the bulletin, there is a leaflet. That's an important leaflet. Because I'll be giving you one or two other passages, you may want to make a note of those passages. And that's why the bulletin is there. But let me just read those words to you from Luke chapter 11, verses 11 to 13. They'll be up on the screen. Just watch what Jesus is doing here. Which of you fathers, mothers, if your son, your daughter asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Would you do that? Or if he asks for an egg, you'll give him a scorpion? Would you do that? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Now watch what Jesus does. He introduces a very important phrase. How much more? You underline that. You color it in. How much more will your Father in heaven, your heavenly parent, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so we thank God so much for those words, and we pray that somehow today God will speak very deeply in our hearts and our minds. Does the name Billy Graham mean anything to you, Billy Graham? Perhaps one of the great, great evangelists of the last century. Billy is now in his 90s. I think he's facing the final days, as it were, on this earth. And he was one of those rare people who had tremendous international influence, and yet he lived his life with tremendous integrity, personally. And those kinds of people are far and few between. Tremendous influence internationally, and yet a tremendous sense of integrity as a man. And when he came to the end of his preaching life, he reflected on his preaching life, and he reflected particularly upon people who went to church, you and me. And he wrote a paragraph, and when I read it, it touched me very, very deeply. And I'm going to put it up on the screen because I want you to follow me quite carefully through this. And I wonder if these words connect with you at all in any way today. This is what he said after 70 odd years of traveling around the world. Everywhere I go, I find that God's people, you and I, God's people lack something. They are hungry for something. Their Christian experience is not all that they expected. And they often have recurring defeat in their lives. Christians are hungry. Christians. He's not talking about non-Christians. He's talking about Christians. He's talking about people who go to church. Christians are hungry for spiritual fulfillment. The most desperate need of the nation today, and he could be talking about our nation, the most desperate need of the nation today is that men and women who profess Jesus, who talk about Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Does that quotation connect with you in any way? Is there anyone here who senses a distinct lack in their own experience of God? Anyone here disappointed with their Christianity? Anyone here who feels constantly defeated in terms of your best intentions? I'm going to be better. I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to tell the truth. But I experience constant defeat. Anyone here long, yearn for a first-hand, experiential, practical, down-to-earth relationship with the living God? Anyone? I want to suggest, friends, that the solution is mysteriously simple. Simple. Paul, when he writes, make a note of this if that sheet is out, because you may want to go to this verse yourself. Make a note of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and these are people who are already Christians. He's not writing to people who are not Christians. He's writing to people who are part of the church, Christ followers. People in whom the Spirit of God is at work. And he says to them, look what he says to them. He says to them, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, can I keep your attention for 1 minute? You can tune out after this 1 minute. But just stay with me for 1 minute. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is not a once-off experience. It is a lifetime journey. A lifetime journey in which I consciously open up every dimension of my life. My will, my heart, my thoughts, my feelings, my relationships, my work. I open up every dimension of my experience to the operation and to the work of God's Spirit. That is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it is a journey of a lifetime. It's a journey in which I open up, let me say it once more, I open up every dimension of my life. And my life has many dimensions.
My will, my choosing, my thoughts, my feelings, my relating, my working. I open myself up to the Holy Spirit. That is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's against that backdrop that I take you to the words of Jesus. These are incredible words. Luke chapter 11, you've got that, eh? Luke chapter 11, verses 11 to 13. These are words that I've read for over 40 years, again and again and again. If only we could get it. And I'm praying that if I've got about 15 minutes, that as we look at those words again, you'll have a sense of God speaking to you today very personally. Very personally. Will you notice a few things with me? Very simple. Will you notice that Jesus draws an analogy? He makes a comparison. And I want you to get hold of this comparison. He first of all talks, there we are, he talks about earthly parents, moms and dads, parents. And he says, parents know how to give gifts to their kids. They know how to do that. We love doing that. Even though my kids are in their, they don't like me saying this, their late 20s. Late 20s. Even though my kids are in their late 20s, I love giving them gifts. I love it. Every time I go overseas, I'll say to them, what can I bring you back home? I want to bring you something. Please let me bring you something. CD, video game, book, anything. I want to give you a gift. I think that's why they say to me, when are you going overseas again, Dad? I thought they wanted me around, but still. Parents give gifts to kids. We love doing it. We love doing it. Now watch what Jesus says about our heavenly parent. Please get hold of this. And he does this in verse 13. He says, look at that phrase. If that's what we do, how much will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And what is Jesus trying to say? Jesus is simply trying to say, our heavenly Father is better than us. Is more generous than us. That God longs, please get hold of this, God longs to give the gift of Himself to you. God longs to do that. God deeply desires to give the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's His own Spirit, His own presence, His own power, He longs to give it to us. He longs to give it to us. Longs. And we need to get hold of this because so often we turn the Holy Spirit, does this make sense? Stay with me, into a reward rather than a gift. And we say to one another, oh, one day when I'm good enough, maybe God will give me the gift of His Holy Spirit. That's not how it works. Or if I pray a lot, or if I fast enough, or if I'm good enough, or if I study enough, then maybe at the end of the process, God will give me the gift of His Spirit. And we turn the Holy Spirit into a reward for effort. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is gift. Gift. How much more will the Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit? That's what God wants to do. But now follow me. Stay with me. Notice, secondly, go back to that, go back to those words. Jesus says the Father will give His Spirit to those who ask. Can I just point that out to you? That's a very big word. Ask. Jesus says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those, there it is, those who ask Him. There was a great Baptist, his name was Spurgeon. Spurgeon, imagine a surname like that, Spurgeon. Great man. And he said these words, asking is the rule of the kingdom. It's the way things work.
It's the way things work in God's kingdom. God is never pushy. God's not pushy. God is not going to gate crash your life or my life. God will very seldom gate crash our lives. Very seldom. God waits to be asked. Asked. How much more will the Father give the Spirit to those who ask? What stops us from asking? What stops you from asking? I've been thinking about that through the night, all day yesterday, Friday. What stops us from asking? I think, you know, what stops many of us from asking is that we think we've got everything already. We think we've arrived. Huh? And so we park off. I meet so many Christians who just park off. They park off. No more seeking, no more longing, no more growing. They just park off. They park off. And we become nominal Christians, and there's nothing more deadly. Nothing more deadly. So we stop asking. Some of us don't ask because we say, I don't want to get religious. I don't want to be religious. I don't want to get religious. Friends, God's Spirit will never make you religious. Never. I will never forget the words of an estate agent in Kempton Park who said to me these words over 25 years ago. Her husband came to our church community. He got deeply touched by God's Spirit. And she said to me one day over a cup of tea, I don't know what's happened to my husband. He's far less religious and he's far more human. That's what God's Holy Spirit does. Some of us don't ask because we are so darn self-sufficient. God, stand back. Watch me. I'll pull it off. I don't need you. I've got enough gifts, enough abilities. I've got my own competence. I've got a brain, and I don't need you. And God stands back and says, okay, if you want to live your life on your own, live your life on your own. It breaks my heart, but do it. But we don't experience the reality of God, God's Spirit in our life. Some of us don't ask because we don't want to change. We know that if the Holy Spirit comes into our life, the Holy Spirit is going to change a few things, and we don't want to change, thank you. I want to stay where I am. I don't want to change. I don't want to be turned inside out. What stops you from asking? What stops you from asking? Can I ask you to listen to Jesus again today? How much more does the Father want to give the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is simply God's personal presence here and now. That is who the Holy Spirit is. God's personal presence here and now. God wants to give it. And God will give to those who ask. Can I say one more thing, and I think it is one of the most important things I'll say today. Any gift that God gives needs to be received and opened up and explored and put to use, as it were. Does that make sense? And the safest way and the best way to receive God's Spirit into my life is to go for practical obedience to Jesus Christ in my life now. That's why God wants to give us His Spirit, so that we can obey Christ now. Look at these words, and they are some of my favorites. Just look at these words carefully from John chapter 14, and I think it's verses 14 and 15. Just look at Jesus. Jesus is brilliant when he says this. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. Okay, follow me. Do what I say. And Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. That's the Holy Spirit, to help you and to be with you forever.
That's what Jesus is saying. Trevor, as you go for obedience, as you seek to follow me, I, on your behalf, will ask the Father to give you the Spirit, and you'll have all the help that you will need. The help, the guidance, the presence, you'll have it all. The Father will give it to you. Obedience to Christ is the engine, and I've thought about this sentence for ages, so get it. Obedience to Christ is the engine that pulls the train of living in the power of God's Spirit. Can I say that once more? Obedience, practical obedience to Christ, is the engine that pulls the train of living in the power of God's Spirit. They go together. On Wednesday night, I was doing dialogue here. We had a lovely group of 30-odd people. I was with Boki. I don't know if Boki's here. And we had tea at about 8 o'clock. We broke up. And I just had to look for messages on my BlackBerry. And I got a message that the person who had been my, I guess, my spiritual father since 1984 had died. His name is Dallas Willard, and I often quote him. And in that moment, I was overcome by a profound sadness and loss. And I also said to Jesus, Jesus, I'm in the middle of a course. I want to follow you. How can I just follow you? How can I live in this moment, in the midst of grief, in the midst of tears, in the midst of sadness? How can I just follow you? How can I follow? How can I live deeply and richly in this moment? And the discovery is that as you go for that, You get what you need. That Jesus asks the Father on my behalf to give the Advocate to help and to strengthen and to live deeply and richly, even in a moment of loss and sadness. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what it means for you to leave this auditorium and to be obedient to Christ when you leave here. I don't know what it means for you. I don't know. It may mean that you leave here and you make up with your partner because you have hurt her or him deeply and you need to apologize. As you go for that, Jesus will ask the Father to give you the Spirit to help you in that moment. I don't know if you need to phone a child that you haven't spoken to for years. And you need to pick up the phone because that is what Christ is asking you to do. And when you pick it up and speak, Jesus asks the Father to give you the Spirit to help you to do it. I don't know if you've got to face work this and it's terrible and horrible and you've got to make a call and it's painful and you have to put yourself out there. As you do it, Jesus will ask the Father to be with you and to help you. Am I making sense? As I go for obedience, that is the engine that pulls the train of living in the power of God's Spirit. Let me end. Perhaps I end like I began. Is there anyone here, and I really mean this, there's a distinct lack in your experience of God. You know something's missing. You know it. Is there anyone here who's just disappointed in their Christianity? Just disappointed. Anyone here who just constantly, you get constantly defeated. You know, you intend to do good, but you just can't do it. Anyone here who longs for a practical daily experiential relationship with the living God. Anyone? Paul says to us, be filled, be filled. This is a lifetime journey. It's a lifetime journey. Be filled. Allow the Holy Spirit into every dimension of your existence. Open up your heart. Open up your thoughts. Open up your feelings. Open up your relationship. Open up your work. The Father longs to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we go for obedience to Christ. We live well and deeply and richly, even in the most painful moments. And as we seek to do that, Jesus asks the Father, hey, Father, give that person my son, just let him know your personal presence today. Is this helpful? Let's pray. Father, 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 Abba. Our hearts burn for you, they long for you, they yearn for you. And we thank you so much that you are more generous than we can ever imagine. That more than we will ever know, you long to give us the gift of your Spirit, the gift of your own personal presence. Thank you that you meet us sometimes when we're at the bottom of the barrel, today we want to ask. Not for spiritual thrills, excitement. We ask for the reality of your presence in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that as we begin to follow you, your presence comes to us as sheer gift. May today, for someone here today, be a new beginning of new beginnings in their life. This is our prayer. And we offer it to you, Father, with all the love and all the longing of our hearts, in the name of Christ our Lord. And we say together as God's people, Amen. Friends, may the presence, the personal presence of God in the Holy Spirit be with you. Take care, friends. God bless you.